everyone. I'm Marcy Howard, and for the next hour, we're going to have a discussion about faith. The mission of About Faith is to gain peace and understanding with one another through answering questions that you might have thought about regarding the variety of faiths. We're not here to debate right or wrong. We're here to gain knowledge and understanding of one another through respectful conversations with faith leaders and about their own journey of faith. Let's get started by introducing our guest panel today. Welcome, Rabbi Jonna DeBenedetti from B'nai Zion Congregation.
It's so nice to be here.
Welcome, Sheikh Rafiq Islam Navi from Masjid Yassin.
Thank you.
And welcome, Pastor Andy Liu from the Chinese Mission of the First Baptist Church in Shreveport.
Oh, yeah, nice to be here. Thank you.
Could each one of you tell us a little bit about your house of worship and its location? Let's start with you, Rabbi Jonna.
I am happy to. I'm sitting in front of a green screen in my house, but I'm pretending that it's fall at B'nai Zion Congregation. Our current building is on Southfield Road, and what's fun about our building this year is that in the year 2020, B'nai Zion is celebrating 150 years in Shreveport in buildings. So the congregation is older than that, but we have been in buildings for 150 years. This specific building was built in the 1950s, mm-hmm. but that is our current house of worship. You may also have driven past, if you're in the Shreveport area, there's an old B'nai Zion temple building on Cotton Street, but that hasn't been ours since the 1950s. It's a beautiful building though. Mm-hmm. This wow. building, by the way, is a classic Wiener Brothers building. We had three architects, and there's a new documentary about the Wiener Brothers coming up about the mid-century modernism thing. So watch for Unexpected Modernism coming up in soon, the premiere. So we're very proud of the building and our location and our history in the Shreveport area.
Mm-hmm. Imam Islam, would you like to tell us about your house of worship and its location?
Yes. 9204 Yuri Drive, and we recently moved there. It's around 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And before, we used to live worship in also Yuri Drive, the small mosque, and 3769 Yuri Drive. But that's very small for our community. Our community solo and solo grow up, so they're looking something that is good for us and good for community. And finally, we got this place. But thanks to God, and we finally moved there like around 2 years ago.
Pastor Andy, could you tell us about your house of worship and its location?
Okay. We're located at the Oakley Drive, 543. I have been served here as a Chinese mission pastor here for almost 4 years. We're so thankful the First Baptist Church Shreveport support us the buildings, the service for us. And we have, a lot of Chinese congregations here. So it's a lovely and friendly community. I love here and I love my mother church here.
I'd like to know a little more about each of you and your own personal journey of faith. Could you talk to me about that?
Dr. Jonna.
I think he was pointing.
No, I think it should be Dr. Jonna.
Okay.
So we'll stay in the same order. We go from we go from oldest to youngest. we have Judaism and Christianity. Islam is the order of how the faiths were kind of started. We all come from the same place, from Father Abraham, we like to say. So and I guess we sometimes fight about who gets to talk first. I like how this time it was everybody offering the other person to talk first. That's a better way of being siblings. So thank you. I was born Jewish, and mm-hmm. I know this isn't necessarily how you figure out how you're Jewish, but we recently did a DNA test, And it goes all the way back to Abraham. So it's not a surprise to me that we can trace how far we've been Jewish all the way back. For all kinds of reasons, I could have told you that. But I was born Jewish and raised Jewish. I was born in New York State, but I've been in Shreveport since 1992. And I've been the rabbi here since 2006. But I've been active in the community in addition to that. I guess to some extent there is a somewhat of a journey, even though that feels like a stagnation to some extent. If you were born Jewish and you're still Jewish, it feels like always the same thing. But as you grow, as you age, as you confront life, I think some things change about it. But I love being Jewish, and I love being Jewish as part of an interfaith community. I can say that too.
Okay, Imam, Islam, are you ready?
Yes, I'm born in India at a Muslim house. Mm-hmm. And my parents, they are Muslim. And I raised there. And then I'm get educated is an Islamic way. I like memorize the holy books when I'm childhood, while I'm good at that time. Then beside the school, I go Islamic education. And after I finished the high school, I spent around 8 years for Islamic education. And finally, I'm like an imam.
I think my faith journey has three parts. The first part of my life is before my 20s. I was born in China, so at that time, we are in the Communism Party. In that education, I don't have any faith or believing, because the Communism Party, they teach us we should be atheists. We don't believe anything, so we need to just follow the party. That's what I got. So, but the things changed after when I was 22, I have the chance to know the Christianity, because my Carnegie English teacher, they were ministry from America. So they shared their faith to me. So at that time, I have the chance to, to know the faith, the Christianity with the atheists. So I have been struggling between them, the atheists and the Christianity for a while. But after when I was about 30, I starting to pursue my faith in Christianity. I was baptized as a believer in 2001 as a Christian. After that, I was serving the Chinese underground church for about 7 years. After that, God caused me to America to be equipped as a pastor. So from I came to America to be in the university, to be in the seminary in 2017. So after education and equipped by God, so I became a pastor after I graduated. So
as Pastor Andy told us about his history of getting into his faith, I was wondering if maybe you could both tell us about when and where your faith journey started, like how old you were. In different cultures and different faiths, they might start at different ages.
Imam Islam, would you like to go first this time?
No, please.
To me. So, yeah, it's not, there are sometimes in some communities where an official start of religious school, let's say, might be at about 3 years old. But I would say that Judaism is not just a faith, it's a way of life. It's a, mm-hmm. And so it is not something that you have a start and an end to. You start when you're born, and they you go through processes of, you know, there's ceremony of giving you a Jewish name, and there's never there's no formal beginning. It's when you're born. So, or go back many, many centuries and many generations, 4,000 years back. So that's when it started. But there is no specific beginning. I can tell you that there's a different journey, and that is that I decided I wanted to be a rabbi when I was in fourth grade. But that's not the same thing as starting your official educational, you know, Jewish journey. Mm-hmm. It is, I was born. You don't have to be born into the faith. You can choose to be Jewish, but I was born into the faith, and so my journey started at birth.
Actually, when the Muslim is born, Muslim childhood, Muslim house, like the first day when they're born, the Adhan is called their ear, you know? Like my child, the boy, they're born here. So I same way I do, like when he born, I go to inside the room, the hospital. I call Adhan their ear, okay? And so it is like the first day we are born, this is actually a start. But our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he told that when the kids, the 7 years old, try to them, tell them about solo and solo practice. Seven. So before seven, they can see, they can teach, but as long as 7 years old, kind of little tell them, force them practice. And until the 10, when the 10 years old, then little more force, you have to practice that. Mm-hmm. So the 7 years to 10 years, 3 years is like practice. Then when 10 years old, they should be practiced at Islam.
There are many different ways that we walk in our faith. I'd like to talk about when your holy day is practiced. Tell us what day it is, because all three of you have different days.
I am going to, it's our going to be our first disagreement, but I think you're going to find it's an agreement. Every day is a holy day. Make this day a holy day. We're all commanded to make this day a holy day. I think that we disagree and agree.
I agree too. If you not follow, if you not submit to God, any day, this is your holy day.
Yes.
If you fulfill the commandment of God, every day, this is your holy day.
Exactly.
This is your salvation day.
Yes, so then, I agree.
Then God does set aside other days as a different kind of holy. Mm-hmm. So for us, for example, I presume what you mean, in Judaism, we have Shabbat, you know, from the very beginning in the Hebrew scriptures, when you get to, I'm not very good with chapter and verse all the time, but I can tell you in chapter 2, verse 1 of the scriptures in Genesis, where it tells us that God stopped working on the seventh day and rested and called the seventh day the day of rest, because the word in Hebrew for he rested is Shabbat, and so he called it Shabbat. And so that is the first of the holy days that God set apart, other than the other six that were special days anyway, but God set apart the seventh day and made it holy. And then there are many other holy days. I just finished a whole month of many holy days. We had the New Year, we had Rosh Hashanah, we had Yom Kippur, we had the Day of Atonement, we had Sukkot, we had Simchat Torah, Shemini Atzeret. We had a whole month of holy days. In addition, there's Passover and there's Shavuot, the Feast of Festival of Weeks. So there are many holy days that God tells us are days that we have to set aside, that we're not supposed to work. And then there are minor holy days. But when you say that, you're talking about what is the one day out of the week of those seven. I like when Imam Islam was talking about how seven was an important number in raising children, because for some reason, seven is an important number to God. It's one of the things that I like to say is how I prove that there is a God. Because if humans sat down and said, you know, it's probably a good idea for us to take a break every once in a while. How often do you think we can take a break? I don't think we would have said one day every seven. I think we would have taken more time or something, or never take a break. But God came up with this number, and it's a very powerful number. And so every seventh day we take a break. Our Shabbat begins on Friday evening. and ends at Saturday night. So that is our holy day every week, our weekly holy day.
Wow, that was great information.
Yes. Our holy day, the Friday. The Friday is the Bible and our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he told us. The Friday, the first day, the Prophet Adam, he was the born. Born means he, God created him. He's not the born. He have no father, no mother. God created him and put it, his soul on the Friday. So this is the, like the first day the human being is the, like came this world. And they say also our Prophet, peace be upon him, the Friday is begin that we believe all of the Judaism and the Christianity and Muslim, they believe they have the akhir, the day of Qiyamah. It's like day of resurrection and like what is called day of the harm. So that day will be happen, and they say it is will be on Friday. But we are not Friday worship. We worship 5 days. All the 7 days we worship every day. You know, we worship Saturday, Sunday, Monday, every day we worship. But this Friday, that's kind of, it is the holiday for us.
And may I say there that in the scriptures, the sixth day is the day that God created humans. And that would also be Friday, according to the biblical calendar as well. We're all in this together.
Yes.
Before Pastor Andy speaks, I have a question for the both of you. When does your holy day start and when does it end?
It is the preparation it can take from the night, you know. But, you know, is blessing of the God. He's very merciful. He allow us, we can the Friday morning, you can do your job. But you have to preparation. You have to go for worship today, like Friday, when the sun afternoon, like the noon time, to like it's 3-4 hours. Between this time, you have to worship. Okay, so, but I say, God is very merciful on human being. He not tell us it is not. For us, he cannot work. He can still work on a Friday, but at that moment, only like few hours, at that moment, we cannot work. We have to go for worship, not a whole day.
And I think that I had already mentioned that according to the first creation story in the scriptures, it says there was evening and there was morning one day. There was evening and there was morning the second day. And so according to our beliefs, the day starts in the evening. And so
yes.
The evening starts when the sun is going down, that's when we know that the new day is starting. Shabbat is such a special day because God commands us we're not allowed to work on Shabbat. No manner of work shall you do. So we start Shabbat. It's kind of sweet. We start Shabbat by lighting candles. But we usually, if you look at a Jewish calendar, you'll see that they tell you light the candles about 18 minutes before sundown, so that you don't accidentally light the candles on Shabbat, because making a fire is considered work, and that would already be desecrating Shabbat officially. And then you wait until on Saturday night, you wait until there are 3 stars in the sky, so that you're not, even though that's after sundown, so that you know for sure that if you start to work, it's not going to be breaking Shabbat by working a little bit too soon. So that's where our Shabbat is, from Friday evening until Saturday night.
Actually, okay. The lunar calendar is the day start in the night. When the sun goes set, and that's the day start. So night come first, then is day.
we share a lot with that. When I teach the story about the Jewish calendar, I talk about the Muslim calendar first, and I talk about a lunar calendar, and that the word month even comes from the word moon. So when you see the new moon, the very sliver of the beginning of the moon, that's the new month. And that's true for, as I understand, it's true for Islam, it's true for the biblical calendar. But then in the Jewish tradition, we also have to compensate for the solar calendar too. And that's a story for another age. But we didn't get Pastor Andy to answer yet. I'm curious about what's your holy day?
Yeah, our holy day is Sunday, because we believe that the Jesus resurrection on that day.
And do you have a special time when it starts?
No, the whole day, I think. Whole Sunday. Because we have the worship in the Sunday morning, and we also have the worship on Sunday night. So we didn't have the exact time. It's very flexible, just as Iman Israel said, the God is grace, our time is very flexible. So,
may I ask a question about that, Pastor? And I didn't think about this before you just said that. And mm-hmm. I understand about any time is a good time to worship on the holy day. Mm-hmm. When there's a midnight mass for Easter, for Christmas, then mm-hmm. would that mean that you would count midnight as the beginning of Sunday, let's say, or not necessarily? When does Sunday, your Lord's day, when does Sunday start?
I think it is the, after midnight. They didn't tell the exact worship time. I think it is just as just after midnight.
Okay.
Just normal time we just spend every day.
I feel very privileged having the three of you on about faith, because all of you bring so much learning and experience from your journey. It's so interesting to hear the differences, but what's even more special is hearing the things that are alike. I'd like to go to another question of what is the training that you had to go through to become leaders of your faith?
So there's a few ways of officially becoming a rabbi. Most of the process in America is, so the majority of the Jews in America are Reform Jews. And the second largest group are the conservative Jews and Reconstructionist Jews and Orthodox. Those are four primary kinds of divisions, you might call them, with spectrums between them. So in my congregation is a Reform congregation. Traditionally, the way you would do it is that you would get a bachelor's degree first, and then it's a minimum of a five-year program after that. My training was not through the Reform Movement's seminary, mm-hmm. which is the Hebrew Union College Jewish Institute of Religion, HUCJIR. Mine was a different kind of a route. And so in the end, when people ask me how long did I study to be a rabbi, my favorite answer, because it's true, is all my life. I've been studying all my life to be a rabbi. And then the official thing, and this happens a lot in the Orthodox world, you would study, and it sounded very similar to the kind of a school where it's when the imam talked about his Muslim training, that you grow up going to a school that is designed not just to teach you about the world, but also about your faith world. So there are people in the Orthodox world who will be going to a religious school all day long, every day, for their whole educational career. And then when they graduate, instead of like a bachelor's degree, you kind of become a rabbi. And then you go and you become an accountant or a doctor, a lawyer, other things. And it's just kind of almost as if it's a bachelor's degree, because you're that kind of trained. That surprises me too, that that's a thing, because it's not just a faith calling sometimes. It is just it's like a bachelor's degree in a sense. It's just the next stage. Mm-hmm. But for us, it's usually a bachelor's degree plus at least five more years. And in my case, I have a bachelor's degree in Judaic studies. I have a master's degree in philosophy, and I have a doctoral degree in linguistics and in humanities with a primary core in linguistics. My dissertation was in Judaico-Romanesco, which is the Jewish dialect of Rome, Italy. And I had a kind of a focus on intercultural, interpersonal communication. So it was a long route to get to be rabbi, even though my dream was to be a rabbi when I started in fourth grade, to want to be a rabbi. But that's the traditional way of doing it. It's usually mm-hmm. at least 5 years after a bachelor's degree.
I have another question for you, Rabbi Jana. When you were going into the rabbinical training, did you find that there was a problem with you being a female, or by the time you were doing that, it was accepted and it was easy to get in.
I wanted to be a rabbi before the first woman was ordained in America, and that surprised me. I don't think of myself as a trailblazer per se. I didn't think I ever wanted to be the first, although I'm the first female rabbi in Shreveport, which is cool. One of the first. I think I'm the first female rabbi in Louisiana, but I'm not sure. There were three of us who were installed the same summer, and I don't know which was 1 month faster or 1 week faster or something, but sooner. But it was the fact that I'm a woman was not a problem for me to be included in rabbinic school. That wasn't an issue at all.
Imam Islam, could you tell us about your training?
Yes. As like from beginning, like our parents, like, and same way I teach my kids too. Even my three kids, I have three boys. They go to school. One is 12th grade, one is 10th grade, the Magnet High. But I, from 3 years old, I teach them as good human, should be good human being. And same time, the religious. So my big son, he's memorized the whole book. I'll go to school. He never missed the school. He never do homeschool. But he memorized the whole book, the Holy Quran. And same with my second one, and third one also. So as long as the leadership, you know, is not mandatory you have born the Muslim house, but if you Muslim, if you later on, if you become the Muslim, and you have enough knowledge of the book, the holy book, knowledge of the Prophet, the Hadith of Prophet Muhammad, and knowledge of the Islam, he could be leader. He could be lead. So that's main thing, how you have the knowledge, enough knowledge about the book of the Quran and Hadith, and then he could be leader. And his proximalist take, like all the knowledge around at least 10 years. At least 10 years. So I spent more than 10 years. For education of my religious.
What was your training like, Pastor Andy?
Okay, so I have two different kind of experience. When I was in China, because the Christianity was forbidden by the government, and that time you have to, in an underground church, and in China you don't have any a university or seminary for you to be trained or to be equipped as a pastor. So at that time, I performed as a leadership in the underground church, just as by the calling and by the face, not any other training. Just I have been staying with the teachers, the former pastor, for a long time to study with him. He teach me, and I stay with him for a long while. After that, if they have to leave, they just hand the leadership to me. So just like disciples for them. So that's the, when I was in China, that's my pastor experience. But when I was in America, I have to go to the seminary to study for the knowledge of the Bible, everything. After 3 years of the education, then I had experience in China how to pastor the church. Then I can become a real pastor in America. I think if you want to be a pastor in America, you should have the degree in a seminary. And then you have at least 3 or 5 years of the experience to how to pastor the church. So I think that's my experience for how to become a pastor journey.
Were you in the underground church or the church that was allowed in China?
The government have never been say you are allowed to be a church. So you have to be very carefully about that. It's always underground. You cannot public, you cannot say, you know, publicly say, I'm a church. So you cannot say that always. I think that we are always the underground church. And how to say that? The government, they're going to send the secret men to come to your church to see what are you doing. They're going to monitor you. What are you saying? What are you doing in a small group? So they know what are you doing. What they know who you are. So it's, I think that's the underground church's meaning. You are not afraid. You are not afraid to do anything.
That I am often talking in like-minded circles.
And that's why I signed up for this, is because I wanted to get to know somebody who is on the other side of the spectrum.
Red River Radio and StoryCorps invite you to have a conversation with someone new from across the political divide. To learn more or sign up, visit redriverradio.org. Local support for this hour's programming comes from the LSUS School of Continuing Education, offering a wide range of courses available to the public, including licensed practical nursing, paralegal instruction, notary public exam preparation, and a variety of safety, leisure, and summer youth programs. For more information, you can call 318-798-4177 or visit www.ce.lsus.edu. This is the voice of the community. You're tuned to Red River Radio.
I'd like to talk for a few minutes about your families and who you really are at home, how many children you have, because we'd like to get to know you a little better.
I have two sons. I was glad to hear that your mom has three sons. I have two sons, Max and Ron. Max is 29 and Ron is 26. They both have master's degrees, bachelor's, master's from LSUS here. They are still living with me. I feel very blessed that during this confinement time, I'm still with my sons. They help me with my computer things. We help each other through things. Every once in a while, I'll be sitting here through 16-hour days working, and all of a sudden, magically, food appears next to me.
So
I'm very blessed to have them. No, they're very good men, and I am very proud to be their mom.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, as a child, I have three boys, you know, and my two first and second, they born in New Orleans, and last the baby born is here in Shreveport.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, like we have the every day the my house this the kind of rule, you know, before they go to school, they awake the morning. They have pray for God, and they recite some book, the holy book, and then they go to school. When they come back to school, they fast before they eat the lunch, because the time for the noon pray they have, because they cannot pray in school. I encourage them sometime, if you late you can pray there, but I think no. Sometimes they're not maybe shy, but they come first, pray first at home, and then they take their lunch. And they're very obedient. They're very, mm-hmm. what they say, the lesson, and they understood. They understood what I tried to say. They understood. I'm proud. I have three boys. And my wife, she's very good. She's very good. She very good shape. She like very good cook. She in India. So and she take while I'm not at home, she take care always my kids.
Oh, that's very kind of what you say about your wife.
I have 1 year old. I have only one son. He is 11 years old. He is studying at the church school right now. And I have a beautiful, lovely wife as well. So many people ask me why, Pastor, you only have one son. I would love to tell them why was in China the government only allow us to have one child. That's the problem. You cannot have two sons, you cannot have two boys or two children. So,
May I ask a question? So, both of you were not born in this country, and my doctoral degree is in linguistics. So if I may, Dr. Marcy, interrupt for a second. Are you teaching your children other languages, to speak other languages? Are you speaking
Chinese? Actually, I'm speaking six languages.
That's what I was hoping you'd say. I'd love to hear about this.
Is my mother tongue is Bengali. Because I'm born in the eastern part of the India, in Calcutta. And so my home and my the whole the state, they speak Bengali. When I'm go to college, then I'm learn the Hindi as Indian language. I'm it's God blessing. I can write and read in six languages.
Wow!
I can write and six and speak in six languages. So, so then I'm learning the Urdu and Pakistani language and Arabic, of course, because they have the Book of God. So we're learning, and my kids they can read and write Arabic, and they speak also. My big son, he can speak like English, of course, and like Bengali, mother tongue, and Hindi, and Arabic. So four languages.
Wow!
Great.
Amazing.
And Pastor.
Yeah. Actually, in our family, we always speak in Chinese. So my wife and my kids, when we were in the home, in family, we always speak in Chinese. And we still have our Chinese mission church. We still have a Chinese language school for our Chinese community, because our Chinese guys, they love to keep the traditional Chinese language.
It's a blessing to know more than one language. It really is. It increases your not just your brain, but opens your mind to other cultures too. So that's I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I have another question for all of you. It's about the origin of your religion. Things like approximate date, areas in which it began, and about the people and tribes in that time.
So I can even be bold and say that the origin of all three of our faiths start with Father Abraham, and who was living in the Middle East and wandered somewhat. God promised him God will show where he's going to be going. And that was the beginning of monotheism. And with Abraham. And there's some wonderful stories about that. But that was about 4,000 years ago. And then there's another big, important step in the history of Judaism, which was the Exodus from Egypt, where we left as something, according to scriptures, it was 600,000 people, but that may be significantly, it may be closer to millions, but we left together as a people. And that was somewhere around 1300 before the Common Era. So those are two big times of our history when that are significant to, other than obviously creation. but Judaism doesn't go back to creation. The world and humanity does. Judaism goes back to Abraham, who was the first one to be in covenant with God and is credited as being the father of monotheism.
How the prophet Musa, he born in Egypt. Yeah?
Yes.
So how they from the like. And Arabia Peninsula, Syria, Jerusalem. So how have we been there?
How did we get to Egypt? Is that what you're saying? That's a great story. Because Abraham had a son. Actually, Abraham had two sons and then others. Ishmael was the first son and Isaac. Isaac had two sons, Esau and Jacob. And Jacob had 12 sons. And one of them was Joseph. This is the very fast version of the story. And Joseph, his brothers sold him. He was an annoying brother. And his brother sold him into slavery. And as a slave, he actually became someone very important in Egypt. So he became almost something like the viceroy or the assistant pharaoh, something like that. And because of that, his brothers and his father came to Egypt. And they stayed in Egypt and they were honored there. But after a few generations of pharaoh, according to the scriptures, it says there arose in Egypt a pharaoh who knew not Joseph. And they started to enslave the children of Israel, of Jacob. Jacob had two names. Israel was his other name. And so that's how they came to be slaves. And they were slaves for hundreds of years until Moses came, Moshe came. And God sent Moses, I should say, God sent Moshe. And Moshe was able to free the Jews. And that's how they got out, the children of Israel. So that's the very fast version of the story, but that's how they got to Egypt. It was sad. And I'll tell you, there are some sweet stories about that. Joseph, for example, made them promise that this is a few hundred years before Moshe shows up, but Joseph made them promise that he would be buried back in the land that God had promised to the children of Israel. And so that's part of always being connected and feeling hurt in some sense in your heart that you're not in the promised land.
Wow. I don't think I've heard hundreds and hundreds of years of history explained in such a concise way. Very good. Imam Islam, would you like to tell us the history of your faith?
Yes. As Dr. Jana say, you know, the Prophet Ibrahim, but I go a little more further, you know, the we believe all the prophets came. We believe all the prophets. Prophet Adam, Prophet Noah, Prophet Hud, Prophet Saleh, Ibrahim, Ismail, Isaac, Yusuf, Yunus, Jesus, all. If a person cannot be Muslim if he not believe any of them. So we believe all the prophets. So actually, you know, when God created us, and he always sent his messenger for guide the human being. And those prophets came, they always obedience to God, they listen to God, and they try to call the people toward the gods. So our religious start from there. But maybe the different name at that time, maybe the Judaism, later on maybe they call like what is called like Christianity, actually the Prophet Muhammad, he the last he came, and he born in Mecca, is around 570 CE. And then when he became 40 years old, and when he saw the people, they not believe anyone the God, they not worship the God. The big people, like those have the power, they torture the poor people. So he always thought these kind of things. And then he became 40 years old. So God sent his message through the Angel Gabriel. Angel Gabriel, he's the one, he brought all the message from the God. Even he bring the Torah for Prophet Musa through the Angel Gabriel. He bring the Injil for the Jesus, peace be upon him, through the Injil Gabriel. And same Injil, the Gabriel, he brought the Quran for Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So this is the Muslim, like we believe the Prophet Muhammad, they believe, all the four books, you know, they believe all the four books, Torah, they revealed to Prophet Musa, Injil, revealed to Prophet Isa, Jesus, peace be upon him. And we believe the Zabur, revealed to Dawood, and we believe the Quran, revealed to Prophet Muhammad. And in the Quran, actually, he's tell all about that, about the Musa, about the Isa, all the prophet. And we believe that, and we follow them. But we follow the Quran, and Quran tell everything is about them too.
Again, we just heard hundreds and hundreds of years of history in a very concise way. I appreciate both of you and your stories that you have just told us. Pastor Andy, could you tell us a little bit about the beginning of the story of Christianity?
Okay. Our Christianity starts from the Judaism, but we've just focused on the Jesus born and Jesus died and Jesus resurrection, this part. So I think we believe that Jesus born for us, for deliver our sinners to deliver our sinners. And he died and burdened all our sins and sent us free. And his resurrection means we are saved from the sins. So that's the most part of our faith. And I think that's the good news we believe in as well. So
after today, I have so many questions. That's not really true. I have hundreds of questions that I have for the panel on other shows. I can't wait for the shows to come. This has been an extraordinary hour with all of you. Thank you so much for your participation today. We've had the pleasure of talking with Rabbi Jana, Imam Islam, and Pastor Andy. You've been listening to About Faith on Red River Radio. On our first episode of About Faith, you've heard from three of the panelists who you will hear from in the future. I hope you enjoyed meeting them as much as I have. If you have a question that you would like for the panel to address, email us at redriverradiomail@gmail.com. Make sure you tune in next Sunday at 1 p.m. for Illuminations. And don't forget to tune in 2 weeks for more conversations about many important topics as we go forward learning about the people of faith in our community. This is Marcy Howard with lots more questions about faith. Thank you for being with us.
The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of Red River Radio, our advisory board, or LSUS. Questions and comments about the program are welcome. You can always write us at Post Office Box 5250, Shreveport, Louisiana, 71135, or send us an email at redriverradiomail@gmail.com. This program, copyright 2020. Local support for this hour's programming comes from the LSUS School of Continuing Education, offering a wide range of courses available to the public, including licensed practical nursing, paralegal instruction, notary public exam preparation, and a variety of safety, leisure, and summer youth programs. For more information, you can call 318-798-4177 or visit www.ce.lsus.edu. This is the voice of the community. You're tuned to Red River Radio.
That I am often talking in like-minded circles.
And that's why I signed up for this, is because I wanted to get to know somebody who is on the other side of the spectrum.
Red River Radio and StoryCorps invite you to have a conversation with someone new from across the political divide. To learn more or sign up, visit redriverradio.org.
You're listening to Red River Radio. I'm Chuck Smith. Welcome to Community Voices, a short segment highlighting nonprofit organizations that strive to provide positive outcomes in the Red River Radio listening area. For this segment, we visit with the Providence House of Shreveport, Louisiana.
My name is Vernie Howard, and I am the executive director of the Providence House, a residential shelter for homeless families with children. The agency was started in 1988, so we are 33 years old, and our mission, breaking the homeless cycle one family at a time, our mission is really to get to the root cause and have a one-stop shop, a place where all issues can be addressed and the family can move towards self-sufficiency as a whole unit. We don't separate children from their moms and dads. We keep that whole unit together.
When you think of homeless families, you immediately think of people without a roof over their head. How does Providence House solve this issue, and what are some of the root causes?
What we seek to do for homeless families with children is not just food, clothing, and shelter. Those are things that stabilize a homeless family. We take a very holistic approach to homelessness. We get to the root cause of it. Homelessness is born out of addictions. It's born out of a lifetime of poverty. It's born out of domestic abuse and violence. And so many things lead people to our threshold. We believe more than anything that education and job skills training are really the tools that break the homeless cycle. And so for my last 5 years here at Providence House, I have focused solely on education, early childhood education, adult education, workforce development, because those are the tools that really will bring a person from homelessness to a place of hope.
How does Providence House get referrals?
We get referrals several ways. We get referrals from what's called our continuum of care, which is Hope Connections. And Hope Connections is really the hub of all things homeless. They are the kind of, you know, Grand Central Station for homeless services. And so most of our referrals will come through Hope Connections. Some of our referrals come through other agencies like a Salvation Army or a Shreveport-Bossier Rescue Mission. We also get referrals from the community. We get referrals from first responders, police officers who have found families living in cars and parking lots, and they've seen those cars there night after night. They will bring those families to Providence House. We get referrals from community members where there are multiple families living in one house, and you may have three or four families living in one physical space. So our referrals come from all over the community in a lot of different ways.
For more information, go to the website theprovidencehouse.com or call 318-221-7887. You've been listening to Community Voices, produced by Red River Radio, the voice of the community.
I find that I am often talking in like-minded circles.
And that's why I signed up for this, is because I wanted to get to know somebody who is on the other side of the spectrum.
When was the last time you really listened to a person who sees things differently than you? In this historic year, Red River Radio and StoryCorps are inviting you to take on that challenge. Join us for One Small Step. We're asking residents in our community to participate in a facilitated one-on-one conversation with another resident you don't know and disagree with politically. It's not to debate politics, but rather to learn about one another and practice listening with respect to a different point of view. Are you ready to come to the table? Sign up at redriverradio.org or call 1-800-552-8502. StoryCorps One Small Step is made possible in part by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, a private corporation funded by the American people.